the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see.
We would ask in interest in your prayers as we stand before you, trusting that the Lord of glory might again deliver us.
Lord, be with you, Brother John.
We're mindful as we come before you of what a blessing we have in that which the Lord has blessed us to know and understand on this side of glory. I felt led yesterday to be with those that were grieving. But it's never really good for an old Baptist preacher to go to a service of another order, because we just kind of want to not that we think that we don't get me wrong now, but we just want people to hear the truth.
Amen.
We just want them to hear the truth, and it was full of zeal. But I came away from that, and I have this thought on my mind today. We Gentiles are people that were alien to the things of God, and without God in this world, and without any hope at all. But now we are blessed through the New Testament with an understanding that God had a people amongst all people. And then we have that joy that we're among that number. So I guess the thoughts on my mind tonight are nothing new. But I guess it's just a reminder to us of what we have and what we have been made to understand. And what a joy it is for us that we might be blessed with some level, as our Brother London was praying, yet still glass darkly, but yet that which we have been blessed to see brings us great joy and peace to our hearts. And we were at Bethel this morning, and I forgot to mention we were we were blessed to have a stranger among us visiting.
Good.
From Sweden.
Sweden. Okay.
Nonetheless. Brother Thomas, right? Thomas. Brother Thomas. He just appeared. And he walked by the big church up the street. And had thought about the Methodist church down the way, but decided to stop being there to Bethel. Imagine that. But it's it was a joy to have him with us. We had hoped to be able to send him a link to this meeting tonight. He expressed an interest, but for some reason his email address, which is from Sweden, we tried it, but it just didn't work. So, but I say that to say that when we think about God having a people in every nation, in every tongue, in every kindred, occasionally they just drop by. Amen. And we're blessed to sit down in fellowship with God's children. The first Ephesian letter was on my mind as I was sitting there this evening. And, you know, it's a joy to reflect upon the many gifts and the many talents that God showers upon his children in this time world. But it's a greater joy to understand where they come from.
Amen.
To understand who is the giver of all good gifts. It is our Heavenly Father, the Father of lights. He is the one, brethren, that showers down upon those gifts. And as I was listening yesterday, it was a picture of a work of grace, but yet it was never said. It was never put forth that way. It's all about us and what we did and what we accomplished. Not understanding that we're only able to accomplish any good thing by the grace of God.
Amen.
And that which he works within us. There is nothing inherently good about any of us. But yet, as we journey, we're blessed to see the tender mercies of the Lord our God sprinkled upon his dear children that we're blessed to encounter. And we reap benefits from those blessings that he showers down upon them. But they are not the ones, nor are we the ones to get the praise.
Amen.
The praise go to him who giveth the gift, the Lord our God. And when we were sitting there yesterday, and of course we had our typical ending there. I only have to tell you what I'm talking about. You know exactly what I'm talking about. And I said, my God, my Lord, you know, we gather at a homecoming and we sorrow, but not as those who have no hope.
Right.
Not because our loved ones were so great, but it's because that God had a great love for them.
Right.
And in that great love that he has for them and has for us, brethren, we're blessed in this land to journey. You know, in the Hebrew letter, it talks about, when it talks about faith and the great cloud of witnesses. Brethren, I think we're surrounded with witnesses in this time world that we encounter from day to day.
Amen.
That shows a picture of that which God has wrought within their hearts. You know, you take one who would travel miles to teach a class in a school that's far off because they're led to go there and pass all these other schools, that's an act of grace. Because God put it upon them upon their hearts to do that. You know, it's not like we are a creator of good works, or that we have it within ourselves to do good. But when God puts that burden upon our hearts, and he gives us that unction and that desire and that want to go out and to share that which he has put within us and to shower those blessings upon others, it is God who be the glory. It is God who gets the glory. It is God who is to be praised for all of those good things. And we, brethren, we are among a remnant who has been blessed to understand that truth. For there are many of God's children who don't understand, who may not ever understand the truth that all we like sheep have gone astray, and that there is none righteous.
No, not one. Amen.
Any righteousness that we might have, any righteousness that any other little lamb of grace might have, comes from the imputed righteousness of the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our righteousness. He is our all in all. He, brethren, is the one who became sin for us, that we would not suffer the wrath of Almighty God, but through the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we would have that hope, brethren, that when we close our eyes in this life, we would be home with the Lord. And brethren, that would be the most joyful day, because we will see him, we will know him, because we will be likened unto him. It won't be, is that really him? Is that somebody else? No, when we see him, we will know who he is.
Amen.
And what a joy that is for us to understand those truths as while we're on this side of the glory. I know Sister Gladys said to me once, and she was kind of joking, but she really wasn't joking. She says, "Don't you dare get up there and sing and talk about how good I was, or because that goodness is in the Lord." It ain't about how, you know, I would admit, brethren, I used to watch Charles Stanley. You're familiar with him.
Yeah.
Remember Andy, his son, Andy Stanley? Mm-hmm. I used to sit there and listen to Andy. And Andy's gospel was that when the wrath of God came down, Andy would always be on the other side. In other words, he would be in good favor with God. I understand that logic, see, because I kind of thought the same way. I mean, we without an understanding and a knowledge of the truth, God's little children think all kinds of stuff about, you know, I could say to you, brethren, that as a youngster, my brother used to ask me, you been saved? I would say yes, because I just got tired of him bugging me. Because if I didn't say yes, he's going to hound me and hound me and hound me. So I would say yes. But you know, I didn't have I did not have an idea as to what the truth was. Okay? Didn't have whatsoever. But you know what? As I look back, Brother Gary, something in me, don't know what it was, something in me says that you don't need to worry. I didn't know what it was, but something is witnessing to me that what my brother was talking to me about, that I did not need to worry about eternal life. Only the Spirit of the living God can witness such a truth to a child of God, regardless of their understanding as to what's going on. You know, brethren, we think about being quickened. I think about the time when I felt so overwhelmed that I didn't know anything about, who's that, Jonah? I didn't know a thing about Jonah, but yet, I felt so overwhelmed as I think about that day. I felt like Jonah. I felt like Jonah because it was kind of like, you need to come out of the world. You need to turn away from the things of the world and turn to God. Again, I had no understanding as to what that was all about.
Christ in you.
The hope of glory.
That's it.
That I didn't know anything about it.
Right.
In fact, that little one told me one day, she says, "I see Jesus in you." I didn't know what she was talking about. I just smiled just because we were dating. I was being nice. I was being, trying to be nice. But that's how the Spirit works on God's little children.
On the inside.
They don't know what's going on. They may know something, but they don't know what it is. They don't understand what it is. And consequently, when they find themselves in a meeting house that demands of them something, some evidence or some work, that they think that that is the answer. So they rush to do whatever it is that they're told that they need to do in order that they think that they may have a hope. And what they don't realize is that the hope has already been put in them. They just didn't understand what it was. That the Lord of glory had already visited them, yet they didn't have a clue of that visitation because they had not come under the hearing of the truth. I remember your dad always talking about the John 3, when Jesus was talking to Nicodemus and said, "You must be born again." And Nicodemus says, "How is it? How is it? Am I to enter in my mother's womb a second time?" And then and Jesus said, "Well,
The wind blew.
But yeah, but he's talking about them having all of this scholarly, worldly knowledge, but yet having no understanding of what the truth was.
Yeah.
And the wind, as the wind blows, the Spirit moves to quicken God's little children in this time world. So that when we gather, brethren, in times like I did yesterday, and we see people trying to put forth works as a means to be able to obtain eternal life, it's a sad gathering. Because the truth of the matter is, our works, our true works, coming forth by the faith that we have been given in the Lord Jesus Christ. As James would say, that let you measure my faith by my works, because the work that we would do, brethren, is an evidence of that which God has already placed within our breasts. It is He, brethren, who has worked within us that we would indeed work out our own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who has worketh within us to will and to do in accordance with His good pleasure. It is not the other way around. We have not worked to earn salvation or to earn favor or to earn grace. Grace was freely given unto us, and that we might bless to rejoice in it and be blessed to experience indeed that joy unspeakable as we journey in this time world. So in the Ephesian letter, when the writer says, "For," he says, "But I will not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope." That you sorrow not. That you might be blessed to understand that in that transition, in that passing, God's little children, when they close their sleep, close their eyes in this life, they wake up to glory, and not because of anything that they have done. We don't have a resume. We don't have a letter of commendation or introduction. Our letter of commendation is the shed blood on Calvary's cross, shed by the Lord Jesus Christ. That is what purchased us. That is what redeemed us unto God. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, brethren. And that, so we don't sorrow as those that have no hope, because our hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. When He hung on Calvary's cross and declared unto the Father that it was finished.
Yeah.
That all that the Father had given Him to do to redeem those that God gave to Him in a covenant of a grace, even before time, was that all that was need to be done had been accomplished.
Amen.
And so he declared unto the Father, it's finished.
Right. Exactly.
It's done. There's nothing left to be done. So, brethren, when you hear God's little children often up their works, it's sad.
Yes, it is.
But just remember to pray for them.
Amen.
For they indeed have a zeal for God, but not
according
to knowledge.
Right.
They seek to rob God of His glory. You see, because God sent His Son. God sent His Son to redeem a people. And when the people of God deny that redemption and seek to raise praise unto themselves because of what they have done, it is sad.
It is.
It is a sad time, brethren, when God's children deny Him and seek to glorify themselves. So He says here that, for if we believe Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. So if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, then, brethren, we are a blessed people.
Amen.
We are a blessed people. You see, because in that death, He took upon our sins.
That's what He did.
In that rising, we have the hope, brethren, of eternal life, that He conquered death and the grave, that He liveth and reigneth and seateth at the right hand of the Father of glory, because He is indeed Lord of all. And when we have that hope and that understanding, brethren, there is sadness, but there's also joy unspeakable and full of glory, because we realize, brethren, that our loved one who left in the Lord is at home with the Lord, is in the Lord's presence, not because of anything that they have done. You know, brethren, I can't even trust that I remembered what I was supposed to do at work on Friday, and how in the world am I going to trust and I've done enough to go to heaven? I mean, I don't understand that logic. We can't even trust in the smallest things of life, let alone trusting that I'm good enough, done enough, that I can heap up all my good works and say, Lord, here I am. Here's John. Here's what John has done. Not realizing what John has done is but filthy rags,
right,
in the eyes of a holy and righteous God. What God looks down upon is that precious blood that flowed from Calvary's cross, from the perfect Lamb of God who offered that perfect sacrifice. It is in that blood we have our liberty. It is in that blood that we have been redeemed unto God, having all the enmity removed, that we can now, brethren, boldly go to the throne of grace. Because our high priest, brethren, is seated at the right hand of the Father. We don't need another advocate. We have the advocate in the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't need another king. like God's children of old said, we want another king just like everybody. We don't need another king. We have a king who reigns in heaven. We don't, brethren. He is Lord of lords and King of kings. He is our all in all. What He has done for you and for me and for all of those that God gave Him is everlasting. It is an everlasting, eternal work that cannot and will not be undone.
Amen.
By your natural actions, by our selfishness, by our stubbornness, nothing at all that we can do or ever will do will ever separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. So when we believe that Christ died and rose again, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. You see, brethren, you know, we think about being absent from this body and being in the presence of the Lord. You know, the beauty is that Jesus purchased his body as well. Yes, it will lay in a cold, cold grave. It will be sown incorruptible. But it will be raised in incorruption to the glory of God. So you see, brethren, we who are yet alive will not hinder those purchased possessions that will rise to the glory of God. You see, brethren, when we think about these old clay tabernacles of ours, you know, I think there's a scripture, Brother Gary, that says this is a temple of God. That we ought to treat it better than we do, don't
we? Right.
Don't you think?
Yeah.
I know I should.
Sure.
Treat it much better than what I do. You know, brethren, when we think about the Lord Jesus Christ and our Heavenly Father coming to sup with us, coming to abode with us, to be in our presence and to fellowship with us and commune with us. And that is a precious thing, brethren. But that is a gift to God's little children. When Jesus says that you love me, keep my commandments. And the Father and I will come and take up abode. I mean, that's a precious truth. But you know, brethren, we can be covered about with so many things in this world that we don't even realize that that truth is there for us to partake of, because we're so wound up and so entangled with the things of this world that that peace that is offered to us seems fleeting. It seems like something, almost like a puff of, you know those little things that kids used to blow on and go up in the air with flour? It seems like a little puff that you can't even catch because you're so entangled and encumbered with so many things in this life that we fail to recognize that which is most needful for us. And that thing that is most needful for us is to be at the feet of Jesus. That's what's needful. We can think about all those other things, brethren, and we can lay aside a time for all of these things, thinking that all these things are important. And what happens, we become so cumbered about with all of these things that we miss the good part. We miss the good part that has been given to us. It's almost like the little child who rejoices when they first get a toy. And they play with it and rejoice with it for a while. And then they kind of put it aside and they pick up something else and then something else. And pretty soon they don't have time for that little one that they rejoiced about so much in the first instance. Where are we when it comes to our first love?
Exactly.
Where are we? Is it like that little toy that we threw to the side and we just don't have time? We just don't have time anymore. All of our time is taken up for all the other stuff. And we find ourselves just like Martha. It's not that Martha didn't know the Lord.
Right. She loved him.
She loved him.
Sure did.
But when she was cumbered about,
I was keeping her.
As we can be from time to time. Or that we would be mindful as to how easily we're prone to wander. You know, I was reading through the book. Let me get down. I was reading through the book of Judges. You know, you take the whole book of Judges and put it as a picture of our lives. So what happens is that God raised up a judge to deliver his people. They're good for a season.
Yep.
That judge dies and they go right back to where they were. It's like a perpetual circle. It is constantly going around in this circle. Don't it remind us? Oh, one day we rejoice. We rejoice in the things of the Lord. And the next thing you turn around with a glove straight over here. Just as far away as we can get from the things of God. And then tribulation comes along. And we're just like the prodigal son, who are blessed that we come to our senses and realize that in my Father's house, even the servants are getting more than I'm getting. And so we flee back to the Father's house to be comforted, to be fed. Only until the next thing comes along. And we find ourselves straying again.
There we go.
Just like, so I take that whole book of Judges and put my life in there. It's just phases and chapters of our lives as we go through life, brethren. But one thing for certain, that in spite of us, in spite of all the gloom that I may have presented to you tonight, the one thing that we rejoice in, brethren, that is in spite of us, that God has love, continues his love, and will always love us because we are his own. His son purchased us. Nothing in this world, nothing in life or death, is ever going to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. So as we journey, brethren, let us be mindful of the stumbling blocks and the pitfalls in life. And be mindful of the ones that we just run right at.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like it's right there. It's just as big as day, but we're running straight for it as hard and as fast as we can. Let us pray that the Spirit of God, our Comforter, would just slow us down. And bless us to see, to open up our eyes and see that our conversation might be glorifying to the Lord our God. We've gathered tonight, or this afternoon. Our hearts are full, our hearts are joyous. Remember always this time. Because this time, brethren, is a time of a replenishing. That as we go out into the marketplace, that we have been refueled, been re-equipped, and been prepared for the storms that lie ahead. That song that we sang, Satan would have us to believe that Our life will always be full of sorrows. You don't need to try. I mean, you just wasting your effort to try. That's what Satan would have you to think. Well, brethren, I'm here to tell you that there is joy and peace to be had. Which is why Jesus says in John, the 14th chapter, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world give, I give. But the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ, which surpasseth all of our understanding. It's there. He has given it to us. Oh, let us pray that we might walk in a way that we might be blessed to enjoy that peace that He so freely gives to those that He loves. And He loves you. He died for you on Calvary's cross. He has redeemed you by His blood. And in that blood, brethren, we see the love of God manifested. And we, as God's little children, have been given a great hope, a great blessing in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's be glad and be happy. When old the adversary comes along, the simply say, get behind me, Satan. I know your ways. I know that you're a liar. You've been a liar from the beginning. You seek to snatch the joy that the Lord has given me. And keep our eyes fixed upon the prize. It is a great prize. It is worthy, brethren, that we would keep our eyes fixed upon it. Because in that fixing, brethren, there is indeed joy unspeakable and full of glory.
Amen.
Blessed be His name.
Amen. Amen, brother. I appreciate that preaching. So sweet. Thank the good Lord. How sweet the name of Jesus.